Church family. My name is Caleb.
And I'm Ava.
And we're so glad you chose to be with us here at church today. Ava, what do we have coming up?
Ladies, set aside your Saturday morning and join us for Gather on May 2nd at 9:30 a.m. in the lobby. This women's only event brings women of all ages together for a sweet time of connection, food, and you get to hear an encouraging word from Pastor Nicole. Let us know that you're coming by scanning the QR code on the screen or by heading out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and signing up there. And please remember, there will not be childcare for this event. Ladies, we cannot wait to gather with you.
And that should about do it. Yikes, that was a happy little accident. Hey, church family, Pastor Jared here. I'm just brushing up on my art skills. This reminds me of our vacation Bible school that'll be coming up here in June. This year's theme is called Masterpiece, and it's an art-themed vacation Bible school. As you can see, I am no master artist, but we will be teaching the kids about who the master artist is, and that is Jesus. Now, he is their creator, and he defines who they are, and they are made for good works in him. It's going to be an exciting time that we want to invite you out to. Week of Pentecost, Sunday, June 7th, through Wednesday, June the 10th. During each service, we'll have tons of fun, lots of prizes, games, activities, and just powerful services, times in God's presence, great lessons. It'll be a great time for boys and girls ages 3 all the way up through 4th grade. I want to invite you to come join us, and maybe you can become a master artist.
At Only Believe, we know that prayer has the power to transform lives. And that is why we start each month with First Saturday Prayer. This one-hour gathering is a time where we get to seek God together, hear an encouraging word, worship together, and pray both corporately and personally. You also have the chance to head down to the altar and pick up a prayer card and pray over the needs of others in our church family. So set your reminders and bring a friend, and come expecting the Lord to move in powerful ways in all of our lives. We cannot wait to pray with you.
Hey, church family, Pastor Tim here. I'm excited to announce Serve Day 2026. Now, right now, what we're doing is we're letting you know about all the projects that we want to do this year. And what we need from you is to go take a look at all the projects and then sign up for the one that you would like to help serve in. Now, we have a lot of projects, and there's two ways that you can find out about them. The first is by utilizing the QR code on the screen right now. If you go to that QR code, it'll take you to a page that'll list all of the different projects, or you can visit our Serve Day displays in the main lobby or in the hallway heading towards Children's Church. You'll see flyers with information about each individual project that includes a QR code to a short video giving you a little bit of an explanation about that individual project, as well as a QR code to sign up for that project. So make sure you take your time to go look at them. Each project depends on you. If we don't get volunteers, we can't do the project. So please go take a look and pick the ones that resonate the most with your heart. Everyone can make a difference. Let's make a difference together.
An invite card could change the outcome of someone's life. Here at Only Believe, we put out invite cards on the pews and out in the lobby, and they make for a really easy way to invite someone who God leads you to come to church with you. So be praying about who God would lead you to invite to our next service.
And for more information on groups, events, or ways to get connected here at Only Believe, you can head right on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and get all of the information there. Now, let's prepare our hearts and our minds as we dive into God's Word today.
If you got problems today, you're at the right place. We all got problems.
If you stay with what God said,
God is on your side. God is for you. Who can be against you?
This Bible ain't got no side effects, and it got no expiration date.
The Word of God is the most powerful thing that exists.
Your circumstances do not define you.
Pentecost, come on. Got a good lineup for Pentecost this year, praise the Lord. When Nicole and I was up with Pastor Bill Winston personally. He's like, I'm coming. I said, no, you don't have to come, brother. You can say, no, I'm coming, man. I'm coming. I said, all right. Praise God. We can't wait to have you. It's beautiful. All right. So before we get started, though, I want to let you know that back in our children's church and back in our youth, everybody is now wearing specific different bands or different, what do you call those? Lanyards. And those mean that everybody that's wearing a lanyard are those people that are supposed to be back there during services, and they've all been background checked. I go visit lots of churches everywhere across the country, and I was one in Columbus, and I went to go see the children's church because I always want to go see what they look like. And I went to go back there, and they had police officers that was helping them. And I went to walk back, and I saw her standing. I just walked back, and she said, oh, excuse me, sir. Can I help you today? She had a big smile on her face with her gun on her side. You know? I said, yeah. I said, I'm a pastor. And I said, I just want to go see what the children's church looks like. I always want to do that. Okay, well, just a second. I'll get you some help. And so she got me a leader, and then it all went through. And they had somebody with me the entire time. Any room I wanted to go to, somebody was there. I went to New York, and I tried to go visit a church in New York. New York's on a whole different level. Before you come in the church, they had what you go through, scanners at the airports. I mean, metal detectors and everything. And then I tried to go back to the children's church area, and I said, yeah, I'm a pastor from Ohio, and I just want to go see children's church. I'm sorry, sir, you can't. I'm like, ooh, really? I can't. I mean, I'd love to see. Now you have to make an appointment, and then you have to make sure that you say who you are, and then we'll let you back in the kids' church. I'm like, okay, thank you for doing your job. So, and then me and Jared Kaiser, we went to another church, I think it was in Florida, and we were walking through the children's church, and I said, there was nobody at the welcome center there at the children's center, and I said, let's see how long it takes. And so me and Jared were walking down the hallway. It was about 30 seconds. Here comes two people. Hi, can we help you? I had made it into the kids' hallway, and I just told them who we were, and again, they had somebody with me at all times. Listen, your children's safety is our number one concern. Okay, so when church starts, if you don't have one of those bands or one of those lanyards around you, then boom, head on back out, you know, and into the sanctuary or somewhere else. But it's for their protection. Our kids are we want them safe and protected. And if that's okay, come on, clapping, amen, say amen, hallelujah. And so we're gaining so many more young families in the church, and they have kids. It's probably because Nicole and I look so young, so we're attracting younger families in the church. So, you know, we appreciate that. I was 55 on the 21st. 55 years old. Man. And so all the office staff said, Pastor Randy, you know you can get your Golden Buckeye card now. F55 years old Golden Buckeye card. Are you serious? And they said, you can go up there. I said, nah, can you imagine me going to McDonald's looking like this, you know? And handing them a Golden Buckeye card, they go say, sir, I'm sorry, is that your dad's Golden Buckeye card? Yes, it is. I tried. Man, thank you. I'm so sorry. It's okay. So I just Golden Buckeye card, 55, whatever. Praise the Lord. All right. Are you ready to hear the word this morning? Amen. Let's get started. So I want you to sit back there while you're sitting back. And now I just want you to imagine. I want you to imagine that you're standing at the Gulf of America, and you're looking at two houses, right? And these two houses are sitting side by side on the shoreline. They look fantastic. They're both familiar. You can't see anything. They look identical. They're just beautiful. It's a sunny afternoon. They both have fresh paint, nice landscaping. They both can see the view of the water. It's just beautiful. On the surface, you can't tell anything different about these two houses. They're just gorgeous. But beneath the siding of one of those houses, there are hurricane straps, heavy-duty steel connectors anchoring the roof rafters to the studs. And then those studs are bolted directly into the deep concrete beneath the surface. Now, imagine the sky turns black. The sirens start wailing. And a Category 4 hurricane begins to push that surge of the Gulf right toward those two houses. Wow, we've seen it over and over again. Now, the homeowner of the weak house cannot run outside in the middle of that storm with a hammer and nails and try to start fixing his foundation. There's no way that he can go out in the rain and try, of course, to bolt down his house to that earth when the wind is trying to pick it up. It's too late. The integrity of that house was decided months ago. Months ago when it was being built on a nice sunny day, clear skies, when it was calm and there was no storm. Are you following me? So the title of my message this morning is Faith That Holds Under Pressure. Faith That Holds Under Pressure. And for that, we're going to turn to Matthew, the seventh chapter. And we're going to start in verse 24. Matthew 7:24. I know my voice sounds a little crazy. You know, the devil's tried to attack me as well. In the past 6 months, I've had a respiratory infection three different times. Three different times in 6 months. It's like a pattern. You know, and I can't be the grandkids. They're perfect, you know. Even though they have green snot running out of their noses and stuff. And sneezing on me and coughing. It can't be them. You know, it's got to be the devil, you know. But so we had the Freedom Conference this weekend. And all of a sudden, instantly, it started happening again. And I was so frustrated and so angry. I'm like, no, man, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. There's no way. And so I went on Friday night. But then they didn't want me around anybody on Saturday. So I took two of my messages and gave them to Pastor Kylan and Pastor Tim. And then Nicole comes in on Saturday and says, what are you going to do for Sunday? I said, I'm going to church. And she said, oh, okay. I said, I'm done with this. My faith is going to hold under pressure. I'm not dealing with this. I'm tired of the devil. He's not going to win. Amen? So she came in this morning as I was coughing in bed, and I said, honey, and it was funny. I said, honey, my notes are downstairs. You can use them as you preach this morning. Oh, no. Oh, no. You should have decided this yesterday. I said, I'm going. Don't worry. I'll be there. Praise God. All right. Matthew 7, verse 24, it says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken them to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Storms are coming to everyone. Storms are coming to everyone, whether you're a Christian or you're not a Christian. As Jesus pointed out on his Sermon on the Mount, he says in Matthew 5:45, that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. That means life's events fall upon everyone, everybody. Regardless of their moral character or their faith, storms are going to happen in everybody's life, period. You could have personal storms, which could maybe be loss or illness or disappointments of all kinds. It could be a storm of betrayal or conflict that's coming or you've maybe had. Even spiritual storms where you're dealing with doubt, temptation, and so many other things. But when we go through those things, James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 says this. When we go through these storms, count it all joy. Okay, great. Sure, James. Appreciate that. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now, that word patience just doesn't mean that we just sit there and wait. No, it's a Greek word for endurance, perseverance, steadfastness under pressure. That's what it means. When your faith is tested, it's going to give you these things. It's going to give you endurance. It's going to give you strength. It's going to help you and give you perseverance. That's what he's saying right there. He's saying that the storm will not destroy you, and the pressure you are going through reveals basically what you're built on. like that storm, like that hurricane. A faith that holds under pressure is never built during a storm. Never. It is built in the quiet, hidden, daily decisions of trust and obedience made when things are going well, when there's blue skies, when the family's great, no fighting's happening, when things are calm. So the difference between the man who stands and the man who loses everything is not how hard he prayed during the storm and the wind. No, it's where they choose to build before the first drop of rain ever hit. Ever hit. Having faith in God doesn't prevent the storms from coming. It will prepare us when the storms come. All right, you picking up what I'm laying down today? All right. I know Brother Rick's in the house. Good job. Praise the Lord. And just like the storms, everyone faces pressure. And the difference is in the foundation. Look, remember what Jesus said in verse 27, and it fell, and great was its fall. He's talking about our life. That's what he's talking about. It's because of ignoring or not applying truth that we fall, and we fall hard. Great is the fall. When we don't obey, when we don't listen, when we just are hearers of the word and not doers of the word, and these things keep coming at us, we will not stand. We will fall. It lets us know that if we are not anchored in truth, we will never be able to withstand the sustained pressure, the over and over and over beating of the waves at the house, the same stress at work every single day, the same financial strain and unpaid bills that come every single month, the persistent temptations, the same thoughts that keep coming over and over, even though you continue to rebuke him, the same sin that keeps knocking over and over again as you continue to ask God for forgiveness, and then it comes again and you fail again. 2 Corinthians 4:8 says this: we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus is saying that if you're building on the rock, then you are a hearer. You're doing what he says if you're built on the rock. If you're building on the sand, you're hearing, but simply not doing. Not doing anything. The difference isn't what you know, it's how you live it out. It's how you live it out. And James has more to say about our faith. James chapter 2, verse 17, and we'll read down through 20. It says, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe there is one God. You do well. But even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Well, that's a powerful statement there. You see, when we use our faith, it grows stronger and becomes more resilient under pressure. It does. It responds faster and with more confidence. And if we obey faster because of our confidence in God, guess what? It deepens our faith. Our faith deepens. And it grows. And then the anchor becomes more secure. It does. If you never allow your faith to be tested, then your faith will never be proven. Well, I don't know if I want to let my faith be tested. I don't know. Is that tempting the Lord thy God? No. No, it's not. You can't just go to the gym and bench press 400 pounds if you've never been to the gym before. Your faith is kind of like a muscle. You have to work up to 400 pounds, okay? So the more you use the muscle, the more it's going to be able to handle. And it's the same spiritually speaking. So small acts of being obedient by faith will prepare us for more. And our faith grows. and it gets stronger. Let's say someone did something wrong to you and God tells you to forgive them. You don't know what they did to me, Pastor Randy. Well, okay, I don't. But being obedient is what you're supposed to do, no matter what they did to you. And let's say you're obedient and you do forgive them. Well, guess what happens? Because of your obedience, that drives a hurricane strap right into your foundation. Hallelujah. Because of obedience. Remember, Jesus says, whoever hears and does is building on the rock. So whenever you are honest, when you would rather lie, guess what? You are bolting your life to the rock. That's powerful. It's simple, but it's powerful. So over time, that muscle gets exercised harder. There's more resistance. There's also pain and discomfort. But through all that, your muscle is getting stronger and more stable. Now, I would ask Brother Rick to come up here and take off his shirt and show everybody his muscles. He said, no, he's ready to go. He's ready to go. He's ready to go. Because, listen, you know, he has been working out and he has gotten stronger and you can see it. His wife touches him a lot more now. You know, it's just crazy. Can't. Hallelujah. You know? But you see the difference. You know, and faith is the same way. You know people who are strong in their faith and who aren't. I mean, you got the people that'll go, oh, come on, let's go. And then you got the ones that are like, well, you know, we'll just wait and see what God does. You know? There's people that build their faith and people that don't. I want to build on my faith. Come on. Hallelujah. So here's the deal too. We've all heard that diamonds are formed under extreme pressure and heat, deep beneath the surface over time. Without the pressure, the carbon wouldn't become a diamond. It would just stay a carbon. So to create a diamond, you need pressure, you need time, you need endurance, and only then will you see the transformation. Hello, the same pressure that could break you is the very pressure God uses to form something unbreakable in you. And man, that's powerful. It's powerful. It's the testing of our faith. When we look at Joseph, who was betrayed by his brothers, you know, because his dad said some stupid stuff that he's my favorite and did all this and that. And Joseph couldn't help that, but couldn't help his brother's jealousy. And then they went to kill him instead, sold him into slavery. Your own brothers sold him into slavery. And then, of course, he was betrayed and he was sinless. The woman wanted him. He said, no, this is wrong. And she lied on him, put in prison. Man, that kind of pressure could have broke him. It could have broke him. But instead, it formed him. It formed his faith. It strengthened his faith. And in it all, he created wisdom. Hallelujah, he created humility like never before in the brother. And it created leadership in him. And it was basically preparation for who he was going to become. And God didn't give him any idea. Now listen, son, you're getting ready to go through this because I'm going to make you great. That never happened. Now, if that would have happened, if it happened to us, that would help us a little bit. Well, I'm going through this because God says that this is going to happen to me. So I'm going to go through it. Joseph never got that. He stayed faithful anyway. His faith grew because he kept anchored himself to truth. Hallelujah. And God honored him for that. We've been studying the seven churches in the book of Revelations on Wednesday nights. And this Wednesday, for the first time, everybody will be out. So Pastor Nicole is going to do a fantastic job of continuing that series. But those churches' faith was tested in ways most of us could never hold up under. I'm serious. Great would be our fall. You know, and I talked about that. But five of those churches got what we would call today a performance review, I guess, with corrections or else by Jesus. And the two churches we talked about two Wednesdays ago, or the one church we talked about, was Ephesus. And they looked spiritually strong on the outside, like that house that was built on sand. But their foundation had started to shift. And in Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, it's so important. That's why I wanted to bring this out. It says, Jesus tells that church of Ephesus, I know your works, your labor, and your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. Now, I told that was here two Wednesdays ago, if Jesus knows your works, your labor, and your patience, that means he's watching us at all times. He sees everything that we do. The Bible says that the lampstands that he walks around is the church. So he's walking around, he's watching everything we do. He's watching everything that you do. He sees everything that you do. And he tells this church, listen, I see your good works, your labor, your patience, and that you can't bear those who are evil and have tested those who say they are apostles and are not and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Man, I'll tell you right there, I'll bet those guys were fist bumping each other. Woo! We the church, baby! That's right, we took those suckers, we kicked them out. They were liars, false prophets, woo! But then all of a sudden the letter says, but, in verse 4, I have this against you. What? What do you mean? We've been doing everything right. You have left your first love. Uh-oh. They started to drift. They started to drift. Yeah, they were busy in ministry. They were doing good works. They were doctrinally sound. They hated sin. But their love for Jesus was fading. Listen, not all collapsing faith collapses suddenly in a storm. No. Ephesus warns us about faith that can still look good and still look alive while slowly losing its foundation. And that's dangerous. Very, very dangerous. We have to keep our first love, Jesus, first. He is our foundation. He is the rock. Keep your priorities straight. It doesn't matter what you're doing if he is not first in your life. He tells this church that. This is not me preaching. This is him preaching. They did everything good. Everything. They do better than what we did today. And he still says, I don't care that you did all that was good. If you forget about me, it's all worthless. And he gave them the warning. He said, if you don't go back to the first love, to what you first were doing, I will wipe you away. I told them guys the other Wednesday, I said, Jesus needed a Snickers bar. That boy was hangry that night. Man, that was rough, doing everything right, but you didn't put me first, so I will wipe out the lampstand, the church, if you don't do what's right and put me first, even though you did everything else right. What does that tell us today? Because this is still relevant today. Keep our foundation strong by keeping Christ first in our life. It's powerful, powerful. Jesus is the rock. He's unchanging. He's stable. He's trustworthy. It's like our marriage. You know, Nicole and I, we do pretty much everything right. You know, I take out the trash for her without her being asked. I do the dishes. I sweep the floor. What? Once a week doesn't count? And all the men said, yes, it does. Yeah. We do what we're supposed to do. We're faithful to each other. I bring a paycheck home. It's fair. And she spends it, yeah. You know? But even though in a marriage, if we do everything that we are supposed to do, you know, the marriage certificate says we should do, the contract says we could do, but we have no relationship with each other. No love. We don't talk. We don't communicate. We don't spend time together. Then what do we have? Nothing. And that's why we see so many divorces these days. How in the world Can you be dating for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years? Everything's great. You get married. Things are going so well. Then all of a sudden, you're in divorce court for unreconcilable differences. You had nothing unreconcilable for 4 years. Or maybe 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years in the marriage. Everything was reconcilable. How all of a sudden it becomes unreconcilable? You drift. You drift. You don't focus on each other any longer. You're just there. You're friends. You live in the same house. It's dangerous. And that's what Jesus is trying to say too. It's dangerous. Keep me first. Keep me first no matter what. So a faith that holds under pressure isn't just built on doing things right. It's built on an ongoing relationship with Jesus is what it's built on. And there were two other churches that we also talked about last Wednesday. And these were the only two churches out of seven that got no rebukes, but just praise. That's pretty phenomenal. And that's Smyrna and Philadelphia. Their faith was tested all the way to death. Jesus didn't say in his letters to them that he would fix it. He said that more was coming. Well, gee, honey, pack your bag. We're leaving Smyrna. Let's go somewhere else. I don't want more. I've had enough. Yeah, he didn't give them any kind of relief. He said, you're doing a great job, but there's more coming. More pressure coming, more testing coming. Wow, that don't sound good at all. Sheesh. And he said, hold firm even unto death. These Christians suffered greatly, greatly. They were poor. They were being slandered and pressured. A lot of them faced prison and death in Smyrna. They take them out into an open field or in the games, and they would burn them at the stake for their faith, because they wouldn't bow to idol worship and other pagan things. They wouldn't do it. They had faithfulness under pressure. And in Revelations 2:10, Jesus says that they were faithful unto death. Smyrna was opposite of sand faith. Sand faith says when pressure increases, I will compromise. I will give in. It's too much. These people's faith was a faith that held under pressure. It was rock faith. Hallelujah. As Jesus said in Matthew 7:24, both builders hear the word, both face the same storm, but only one stands. So if you're writing something down today, I want you to write this down. John's not here, so Gerald is here. Gerald's not here either? Who's here? Pastor Nicole, you're here. Write this down. All right. And Ray Ray's here. No, it's Ray Ray. You write this down, Ray Ray. All right. He's going to be my third. If John's not here, it's Gerald. If not Gerald, it's you, Ray. Ray, write this down. It's on the screen. When life gets hard, do you stand on what you say you believe, or do you fall back on what your life is actually built on? Think about that. Think about that. And in 1 Samuel 13, this is a story that I found that just fits this perfectly. When the Philistines were gathered and Samuel was late, this was to a battle, Saul felt the pressure because the enemy was coming and coming strong. And instead of obeying God's command to wait, he took matters into his own hands and offered a sacrifice that he wasn't authorized to do. Only the prophets were to do this, not even the king. Waiting was the test, and he failed. The testing of your faith produces patience test. He failed it. Failed it miserably. Samuel the prophet finally shows up. He wasn't late. And he says in 1 Samuel 13, chapter 10, it says, and it happened, as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering, that Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might greet him. And Samuel said, what have you done? You see, in the old covenant, sacrifices were often treated like a way to secure favor before a battle. So here's what Saul does. Saul says, we need God's blessing now, so I'm going to make it happen. That's what Saul said. He was really trying to manage God's favor. I don't think anybody can manage God's favor. Amen. You know, we've tried that, right? And Saul's mistake isn't ancient history. Okay, yes, Saul's mistake was ancient history. Okay, that one was. But we fall into that same pattern today when pressure comes to us. We do. Boy, let me tell you something. I've rushed into things that I shouldn't have rushed into. You know, three kids. Man, I shouldn't have rushed into having those three kids. My gosh. Man, we rushed in. No, we waited 8 years before we had kids. We didn't rush into that. I'm just teasing. Lincoln's on the front row. I just wanted to hear him laugh. Okay. So, you know, there's been a lot of times where I haven't waited on God. I wanted to do something and I didn't hear a no. So I thought that was a yes, but I should have waited on a yes too. And it cost me a lot. And that was my fault. We force relationships, right? Well, I think she's the one, man. We've got it together. She looks like it. Okay, well, but you know what? She's this religion and I'm this religion, but you know, it doesn't matter. She's the one. Okay, but what does the Bible say? What does God say? Yeah. We jump into opportunities that we shouldn't jump into. Again, I'm guilty as well for that. You know, and then when that stuff happens, you know, and of course in my life, it's not Samuel that has said, what have you done? It was Nicole. What have you done? What? You know, you're always into innocent. What? You know, yeah, exactly. We can also treat spiritual practices like leverage as well. If I pray enough, God will fix it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, if I fast, God has to move. He has to. If I am faithful, nothing bad should happen to me. We're trying to force God's hand. Nobody's forcing God's hand to do anything. Nobody. But that is not having a faith that stands under pressure. That's trying to manipulate God like Saul tried to do. Saul thought God, you know, will be, Saul thought God will be with us if I perform this act or this right action. He has to be. I'm doing what's right. I'm offering a sacrifice to him first. The right way to think and act is that God already is trustworthy. That's what we have to think and act on. So I will obey even if nothing is happening yet. Even if the army is still coming my way. Even if the pressure is building to where I don't know what's going to happen in the next 10 minutes. We still obey and trust God because we stand on the rock. We have to. That's having faith that stands under pressure. That is as if you were building your house on the rock. So anytime you feel the need to control the outcome, I want you to go back and read how God felt when Saul tried to control the outcome. Because that day, he lost his kingdom and he lost the anointing. He lost them both. Woo! Okay. So in closing, when we go all the way back to the two houses on the beach, Jesus is telling us that the hurricane didn't create the problem, but it revealed what the foundation had. Storms are coming. And if you're in one, there's going to be another one coming soon. How's that for a positive message this morning? Praise the Lord. Pastor Randy, woo! It's another one coming. Jesus help us. Hallelujah. When prayers, the pressure against your faith happens when things don't go how you plan them to go. A lot of the times. When prayers don't get answered the way we expected them to get answered. When situations feel out of control, like someone dies or you lose your job or whatever. In those moments, the devil will tell you that your faith is not strong enough. Just give in, just give up, curse God, die, all those things. If you're building your life on the foundation of Jesus and not outcomes or feelings or your abilities, then your faith will hold under pressure. It will. It will. We are anchored into Jesus and the cares of this world. He says to give them to him. Give them to him. Let me say it this way. The rock who is Jesus keeps you standing, okay? The pressure or the storms, they help shape who you become ultimately. We ultimately, if we stand, become stronger because of them. Our faith increases. Our faith becomes stronger because of it. Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are heavy laden or burdened. I am here to give you rest." Even though the pressure is there, I'm with you. Amen. I'm with you in the storm. I'm with you in the pressure. Don't lean on your own understanding. Stay on the rock. Stay bound to me, and you'll stand. Amen? Amen. Prayer team, come on up here real quick. Everybody stand up, if you will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I was at home sitting at my desk, writing this and coughing at the same time, I saw a vision. I saw a vision of someone, and it came to me instantly. It feels like there are heavy chains wrapped around your shoulders. And it's the burden is heavy. The burden is heavy. And then I heard the word depression. Someone is in deep depression. Why in the world does God show us those? I just thought to myself, as he said that, I was like, why are you showing me these things, but yet I don't see the results of my healing? I'm healed. I'm standing on the rock no matter what. You're going to help somebody else, but you're not going to help me, Lord. These are what our thoughts think. You know, our thoughts are just crazy. I had to rebuke my own thoughts. If that's you today, that's you that feels that way. Listen, we believe here at this church of the laying on of hands. When we lay hands on the sick, the oppressed, the downtrodden, listen, healing comes. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They will recover. We know that. Praise God. If you feel heavy today, the prayer team is here. If you feel burdened, pressure is on you at your job or at your home or whatever you're going through, I want you to come down today and let the prayer team lay hands on you. And that pressure will release in the name of Jesus. God showed me that on Friday. Whoever it is with those chains as well, I want you to come on down. And you can start coming now. You don't have to wait on me to say anything. Come now. Because God revealed that. And he's going to help you. And that heavy burden is going to lift off of you. In the name of Jesus, it's going to happen. I don't know what it is, but just come on down. Hallelujah. 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 He's here. He's here. When you lay hands on them, praise God, things are going to happen in their life this morning. I thank you for it. I thank you for it. Hallelujah. And if you don't have pressure, you're not going through something that you feel like you cannot control, then please pray with us. We need your faith as well. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. People are coming. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, this morning. Thank you, Father, this morning. Hallelujah. Wow, there's a sweet presence in this house today. A sweet presence is here. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You love your people. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, you don't accidentally build your life on the rock. It's a choice. It's a choice. You choose whether you want the rock or not. If you've never made the decision to build your life on Jesus, to trust him, to surrender your life to him, well, today I want to say this is your chance. You might be here for the first time. You might have been here for weeks and you've been listening. Things have been happening in your life, but you've never taken that first step. So why these people are being ministered today, while God is healing them, while he's taking the pressure off of their life, breaking those chains that are around them, I want you to ask your neighbor, hey, you know Jesus? And if they say no, say, would you like to know him? And if they say yes, then walk them on down here. And we're going to pray. And they're going to give their life to Christ. And their life will never be the same. Hallelujah. Never be the same. Or if you're by yourself and you want Jesus to be Lord of your life, you want to build your life on the rock, and you're done building it on sand, come on down right now as well. And I'll pray for you, lead you in the greatest miracle of all time, the miracle of salvation this morning. Hallelujah. Anybody at all? Have you asked your neighbor? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. While they're doing this, would you just sing a song real quick? Go ahead, while we're ministering here today. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Is the place where